Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about the importance of eye contact during sex or even during conversations, right? Let's be honest. As well as taking your calls and your emails. Topics include finding porn both you and your partner will get a kick out of. Where do you start? Your partner wants you to be more vocal during sex. How do you find your sex voice? So you've been in a long-distance relationship for quite a while, and you're getting restless. How do you stay satisfied? And sex toy hygiene, keeping your toys clean and sanitary. Yes, it matters. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com to get all your sex questions answered. We've got amazing blogs and everything there to help you have better sex and relationships. You can also comment and subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast. It really helps us. Please subscribe. Share the podcast with your friends. We love when you do that. It helps us and help you and your friends. Don't you want everyone to be having awesome sex? You can find it everywhere, wherever you listen to podcasts, and check me out on SiriusXM Radio. It stars Channel 109. And I am there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific, 8 to 10 East. And if you want a free 30-day trial, go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. As always, follow me on all social media at sexwithemily across the board. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
Okay, this is interesting. Why is it so awkward for even people that we are so close to looking them in the eye just for more than 20 seconds?
I think it has to do with your upbringing. If you had parents that were looking in people's eyes or your family wasn't, you probably weren't trained in that way. But I think it's fear, shame, people seeing us. We're so uncomfortable. And it really is. It's funny because looking into each other's eyes or someone's eyes, like when you're passing them on the street or a loved one or a friend, I mean, that's intimacy and that's connection. And so it's such a good question, Jamie, because it's so related to the things that we talk about on the show that if you are someone that doesn't look into someone's eyes, and I think you know who you are.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very aware when I'm not. Like when I'm not looking at someone's eyes, I'm like, oh God, I'm not. Sometimes because I'm thinking about something. But if you know when you're not an eye looker, I'm going to go on a ledge here. I'm going to say something. If you're someone who has a hard time looking into someone else's eyes, I'm going to guess that you probably have challenges in the bedroom around intimacy and around being the lover you want to be, having connected sex, even in your relationships. I'll bet you that I'm certain there's a connection. I mean, it's our body language is how we communicate, you know, what is it like our language is only what, like 10%?
Yeah, like what we say is
what
only
we say. And everything else is 90%. So if you're not an eye looker, you're taken away. If you're an eye, not an eye, you're an eye dasher. You're an eye avoider.
You look with your nose.
Yeah. If you're someone like that who looks away, I mean, I'd like to think, what'd you say?
It looks with your nose, because you're like, if you're not an eye looker.
Right.
Nose looker.
Exactly. Well, like if you're someone
who. Yeah, you could also like look at them in the, if you're having trouble doing it. If you're having trouble looking into somebody's eyes, you can always just start looking right in the middle,
like in the third eye.
Yeah, just the third eye, or like right at the bridge of the nose, if you're trying to grow that.
Yeah, but I think it is a skill that you can learn over time. But I wonder. I guess people grow. I'm trying to think of. I've met people who aren't great eye lookers lately. But yeah, I think it's a thing. Do you look into each other's eyes? Actually, do you agree with me? I'm wondering if you think that people who have a hard time looking into your eyes, you're in a relationship, you're that person. Is there a challenge around intimacy in your life? I mean, there has to be. It's a direct correlation. You can call us 888-94-STARS. So like, but I think it's something that you learn. Like, I think people point this out to you in life. And they say, you know what? It really helps with, I guess, just all the self-help things I've done and all the business courses and all the stuff you learn, you know, self-help books. They're always like, make eye contact, right? But maybe people don't. Do you find that it's a thing?
I think so. I actually, it's funny because I'm very much an eye looker. I'm like, but I will break eye contact and look away because I feel like the person I'm looking at is feeling awkward. Not because I feel awkward doing it, but I feel like the person I'm looking at is like, oh my God, they've been like looking right at me.
Really?
I don't know.
I notice it.
And I think this is just a story I tell myself in my
head.
But like, because I just know that a lot of people do. They avert their eyes, or every once in a while they like look away, and like maybe just to readjust. But it's like, I like
you to never look away.
I don't really like to look away. But then I'll notice like someone kind of in their eyes, and I'll like look away for a second. And when I look back, they look a little bit more
comfortable. You're like, maybe. Let me put them out of their pain.
I think I'm
right
just
now.
A lot to take in sometimes.
Yeah, maybe you are.
I think it also has to do with being comfortable in your own skin, you know, like in
confidence.
And confidence. Yeah. And also I think it has to do with trusting yourself with that person, you know. And I know that like if someone's lying, they look away, like one of those things.
It's vulnerable too. It's vulnerability. Really vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because I was just thinking about this. I'm like, oh no, I can look into each other's eyes. But when I went to my Somatica, I did a training, a sex mm-hmm. therapy training. It's called Somatica. It was more about embodiment, being in your body, and how your like being aware of what your messages your body is giving off to others and how to communicate with your partner. It's fascinating work. I did it for like, what was it? It was so long. It was like a 6-month course. I'd go to San Francisco mm-hmm. for Celeste and Danielle. They're amazing. They're sex coaches in the Bay Area. Check them out. And I went for 5 days. Overall, it was like 60 days total. It was a big fucking thing. A commitment. It was a big fucking commitment I did for 5 days every other month. My business was fucking insane 3 years ago because I'm always trying to learn more shit. And it was a lot.
That was like right when I started.
Yeah. It was like 3 years ago. And it was like therapy. And you get there on a Thursday.
It was here in LA?
No, it was in the San Francisco.
Oh, you just said that, San Francisco.
I thought I'd be going back to see all my friends. Nope. You'd be there like Thursday afternoon. And it was like intense. I mean, we learned. And we were talking about this because I should bring more. I think it's already incorporated into what I do. But there was a lot to learn from it. But the very first exercise, because you're in this room with 50 people. And you get to know them because you're there for 6 months, 5 days every month. And so it's intense, but the very first assignment, which is I look back on this now and I think, oh my God, we had to do things where we had to like, by the end of it, it's always close on, but you had to actually be with somebody where you would be making, like not like making a move on them and mm-hmm. advancing, and then you'd have to teach them with your body that you like consent, and you'd have to tell someone your deepest sexual fantasy, you'd have to share with your roommate. I mean, we went there. Wow. But the very first, I'll share with that in a minute, but the first assignment on the first day, they put you in groups. So it was 50 of us. You were in a group of, each one was in a group of 10, maybe your 8. Those were your 8 people the whole time, pretty much. And you had to, she's like, you have 5 minutes and I'm going to ring the bell and you have to turn the person next to you and stare into their eyes. And I remember feeling that was kind of terrifying.
It's uncomfortable.
I was like, oh, I'm going to fail this class. What if it means? What if I'm not really, you know what I mean? Like you have a moment and then you're staring and then you realize like, oh. You know, it actually, then you feel this warmth and you feel it. Actually, everyone taking a somatic sex therapy class is safe and all those things. But you just realize that you actually, you are moved and you feel emotion, and you feel connected and you feel that person's soul. I mean, it sounds, you know, but it's, and there's a lot of healing therapies in staring. Like there was that whole study they talked about, or that the, how people, have always like a TED talk, you know, people fall in love if they stare into each other's eyes for a certain amount of time, and mm-hmm. things you should do in relationships. So there is a certain intimacy and it helps you with vulnerability. And so I think, you know, yeah.
It was intense. But then after that, I was like, I wish we could go back to eye staring. I have to sit and tell this person eye fucking. Yeah. I have to sit. But there was such an intense stare. Like dirty talk. We actually learned how to throw some up against the wall, like sexually. Like I could do this with Jamie. Sorry to the cameras. I could show you, like, I learned how to like dip someone back and like throw them against the wall. Because it was, everyone in there was training to be a somatic sex therapist. So you'd have clients come in and they would say to you, my partner says she wants me to be aggressive. I don't know what that means. And then you would like play it out with your therapist, or you'd bring your partner in and you do couples therapy, which is just an interesting, you know, work to do, because people don't know how to do these things and then how to learn. And we'd learn these things, like how to touch for your pleasure and touch for someone else's pleasure. Mm-hmm. Because so many times we just touch for our partner. So you do these exercises where you had to be like selfish. You'd be like, this is what I want. And you'd have to like, and everything was clothes on. And you couldn't touch above or below, like you couldn't touch genitals, but it got pretty, you know, if in some of the exercises, just to learn mm-hmm. how to escalate and de-escalate your sexual energy.
Was it just good women shit. Or that, was men?
No, it was women and men.
Yeah, did you do?
It was men and women.
Female, female?
Yes, we did everything. Awesome. We did everything.
That's amazing.
But it was very, yeah, it was, and the interesting thing is I take away so much from it. And a lot of it was about how to learn how to communicate with your partner and how to repair. We always talk about repairing relationships that a lot of the times we get to. So for example, one of the great things was learning how to say no to your partner sexually, like mm-hmm. if you're not in the mood, right? Or anyone you're dating, or if it could be the first time, and it starts to escalate. And this is, you know, you feel uncomfortable, you feel like you might say like no, you might stop them with their hand. And then they try again, and then you stop them again, and then you get angry and you leave. Let's say it happens a lot, mm-hmm. like with the first few times you're hooking up. But a great thing to learn is, and this goes for every relationship, is to learn to be like, use words and say, you know what? Like to sit up and be like, I'm really enjoying making out with you. It feels really good right now. Let's just kind of slow it down. This is just a no, not right now kind of thing. And then you don't have to storm out and have it be weird. And just all the ways that couples, if you learn to be, so the whole therapy is around being in your body, really learning your signals that you're sending, so you can, so much, again, another tool for communication.
I mean, that's just like so.
It's so intense.
It's so interesting to me because it's so true. Is a lot of times when someone is saying no, they are saying not yet.
They're saying not yet, right. Exactly. But that doesn't mean that no means yes.
Yeah.
It's saying that no, not means not yet. And so I think that's what happens is, as we know, in so many, I mean, God, I remember, I'll never forget this story from this woman who said to me, I met her at another one of my conferences. It was like the Sheila Kelly dancing body weekend.
Oh, she's cool, yeah.
I love her. And some woman said to me, she came to me and she said, you know, I have been with my, you know, she was there because it's a dance where women learn, it's all women, and you learn how to get into your body again. Because a lot of what women are missing is movement and feeling sexual and feeling like loving your, it's a way to love your body. So anyway, this whole course, you know, again, it was clothes on, dancing. But she said to me, my husband, I remember 20 years ago, he was, or like 18 years ago, or we, the number, the numbers. She's like, I had gone to the store and I got all this stuff from Victoria's Secret, and I got this really beautiful teddy, and I put on we all know how hard that is to put on the
garters.
The thigh high garters. That's always the buzzkill part. You're like, really? It doesn't, you got to turn around and get it to like connect to the other, and they all twisted. But she did it. And she's like, and I went downstairs in the den, and he was watching TV, and I walked in front. I was like, hey, babe. And he was like, babe, I'm watching the game. And he just like glanced at her and like looked away. And she was like, it devastated her to the point where for the next years, she just never tried again. She probably never brought it up. And he probably, you know, didn't remember, didn't know it. And she said, then I realized that silently, I don't know if it you know how things are at the moment. Maybe she's bummed. But mm-hmm. over the years, she finally had this breakthrough when she's dancing and moving, realizing it was that time that she slowly started to shut down. And then over the time, she was just not approaching. And then it's become a problem with their relationship. And then she was shut down. And then she finally brought up with him. And he's like, babe, I don't even remember that night. I was working on my deadline. And you know, maybe it was like probably they'd been together 18 years. It might have been 10 years, whatever ago. And she's like, what if she had said to him in that moment or later that night, I really dressed up for you and I felt pretty. He would have let her know, oh, I didn't even notice. I was like taking a break watching TV, but I'm in it with you. And so these little things happen, these micro offenses.
Mm, that's a good phrase.
Great phrase.
They're little tiny like micro offenses that happen in our relationships, one after the next, and we don't finish dealing the emotion around it. We just plug it down, or we say, oh, I just must not have been sexy tonight, or
We're reading too far into it.
Yeah, but if we were aware with how we were actually feeling and had the agency and had the words around sharing, like, oh, you know what? That hurt in a way that, because usually what we do is be like, fuck you, and you know, but we don't feel safe. So, yeah.
I mean,
that's where that's going to go.
I feel like I would have just, but this is me and I'm different, but I,
hello.
In that moment, if I had been like, walked down, he was like, babe, I'm watching the game or whatever he was doing, I would have been like, I just would have stood in front of him.
You would have. You would have pulled the fucking remote, turned it off, and been like, hello, do you see how hot I am?
And that's, there's only one time that did not work. And I was very upset. And it was at my ex-boyfriend's house. And he was playing his fucking video game.
It's always video games.
It's like this computer game. It's called League of Legends or something like that. And it's like this thing. And he'd play with his friends. And he'd have the headset on. And like, I was like, I didn't come over here to just sit and watch because there's nothing I can watch on the TV now. I have to watch the stupid whatever you're doing. And so I took all my clothes off, but I left like just my panties on. And then I like was like in front of him and I was just like trying. And he was like, oh, babe, you're so cute. And then literally just looked beside, like after. And I was like, what the fuck?
I think, you know how you say you got to schedule sex. I think, you know, with video games and relationships, you got to schedule that.
Or have a no video game,
yes,
you know,
that
relationship.
That needs to be separated unless you're not living together.
Yeah. I mean, one, it'd be different if it was like once in a while. Cool. I'll sit and let you watch do your game, whatever. Also, if it was a more interesting game to watch, like if it was like God of War or like Red Dead Redemption or something like that, one of those things that kind of looks like cinematic, a movie.
Yeah. You could get down.
Then
with
I could get into it. But it was like, I was like, what is this? This monster game.
Quality. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like couples should pick out the porn they want to watch together. They could pick out video games they want to watch together.
Yeah.
That's another thing too. Searching for porn together. How do you think that,
how does that go down?
Yeah, how does that go down? Like how would a couple
not triple anal. Whatever that means, triple penetration. How does a couple do that? How does a couple search for porn together?
Like what are
where you start?
Yeah.
I love the idea of you each showing each other what your favorite porn is. And being like, do you like this? Do you like this? And then starting there. Or starting out with something, I think a lot of couples probably start with a girl and girl, lesbian porn. God, I wish I could just go to ericalust.com.
It's for women. I still
love it. But I think first talking about, I don't know, something for more benign or like, I don't know, you guys, I don't watch enough porn. Let's see what would be the things that you'd look for. Beginner porn, we have this. I think you have to find something that you have to sit there together and be like, already have the conversation about what your turn-ons are. Or you swap bucket lists. You're like, would you ever want to be with a woman? Or how about what I would look at? You know what is like seduction. Like making out porn, like kissing. For a lot of women, I think it'd be like, I want something with a lot of foreplay or a lot of oral. Just say the thing that you love most about sex, and if you Google it, there will be a whole fucking porn section around that.
Is that the right way to go about porn? I mean, I don't watch much porn.
Start where you
are. Do you just Google porn?
Like, there you go. I'm like,
is that safe?
That is the best question ever. How do you find porn?
Yeah.
Do you Google porn? Yeah, I guess you do.
And just go from there.
Just okay. Also, fun fact. I'm going to say fun fact for everyone out there that has not discovered this on your phone or your computer. Incognito tabs.
Oh yeah.
The incognito tabs so that when you don't even have to delete your fucking search history because it's incognito, it's invisible.
Yeah.
And then that way no one's gonna know when they go use the computer next and they start to type in a word P, no porn will follow.
Yeah. Well, they should have.
You can do that too on your regular computer, on your computer, right?
That's what I'm saying. On your computer, on your phone, private
porn,
tabs.
Yeah, when you put in porn, Michelle, to answer your question.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Pornhub. Pornhub, yeah. Free porn. Girlfriend videos. Anyway, we're going down dark.
I mean, I used to go to Tumblr, but.
Fucking Tumblr.
Those days are over.
That was what I'm talking about. Erotica, Tumblr. Don't worry. It's coming back. There'll be something else for images. Read erotica to each other. God, I love
like
that idea.
That.
We should read erotica.
Also gets you away from
a
screen.
We should read a passage. Yes.
Gets you away from
the
screen.
See, the thing is, I don't want to be near a screen. Like, I am not a phone. I mean, I am here on the phone, but like at night when I'm out, like I do not. Especially when I'm, like I feel like a thing in my body when I'm with someone. Like, go. Like I was out with my friend the other night and he was like, I hadn't looked at my phone for a while. And he was like, oh, go get your phone. I can show you. I'm like, you know what? No. Like when you are on your, it takes you out of your state. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we come back on to your calls. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Okay, we have Anne, 57, in Oregon. Her husband wants her to be more verbal during sex, and she doesn't know what to do.
Okay, hey, Anne. Thanks for calling. It's a good question.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
So we've been married over 30 years, and, you know, we use toys, and, you know, he's really good. He, you know, really helps me to try to relax and have fun with sex. But I've never been very verbal, and he's always like, okay, tell me what you want, and I'm like, eh, I don't know.
Right. No, I get it. You're like,
so,
oh.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So a great place to start is maybe, like, thinking about just what's going on in the moment. So could you say, well, first of all, do you know what you want?
No, probably not really.
Okay.
So, I mean, yes and no, but I guess I've never been good about just saying what I want him to do.
Right. Okay. You know what I mean? So let's practice.
I mean, I do have like a vibrator and all that kind of stuff, you know, to kind of get started, but he's always like, okay, tell me what you want. And I'm like, I don't know.
Be like, I want you to put it on my clit like you normally do. Like, that's what you, that's the kind of thing that you got to, like,
okay.
He just wants to hear because the word, it's just something different. You guys have been together for a long time. But I know, like, you should just practice when you're in the shower. Honestly, practice, you got to practice, or practice looking in the mirror and saying what you want and thinking about what you want. So do this for me, Anne. Can you think about your three hottest times you've had sex with your husband? Like, what comes to mind? Are there three different times you're like, that was hot? Did something happen in the moment or that you can remember?
I know when we're on vacation,
sex,
it's always so much better.
Always, yeah.
Because you're not at home. You're not thinking all the things you have to do.
Right.
So I do love vacation sex.
Okay. But is there a moment like when you were like, yeah, I know. Those are my best memories too. I love vacation sex.
Yeah.
But like, is there anything?
And I know if I like drink a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
I definitely loosen up, but you know.
Well, what about like, was there ever a time like, even when you first started like making out, like, do you ever want him to kiss you more? Do you ever want him to, is there anything you want? Or maybe it's just in the moment. He probably just wants
to.
Yeah,
definitely more of the foreplay type stuff.
Say, I want you to make out with me right now. I want you to go down on me. I know these might not be how you talk. I understand. Or I want you to, like, because that's probably what he wants you to say. I want you to make out with me. I want you to lick my clitoris. I want you to use the toy.
I guess I always just think of, like, the pornos and stuff, and it just seems so cheesy, you know.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I totally understand
it. That's what he's wanting.
I think that's what he's wanting. But to be honest, I understand that. And it's like, it's a new skill. And so that's why practicing it on your own, which might sound silly or what, I mean, because people do think they have to sound like porn stars, but really that's why I'm saying if you could just describe what you want in the moment and think about it. Like even right now, you could think about what happened last time you had sex when he asked you that. If you practice, you're like, I want you to grab the vibrator and put it on my clip. Like just start practicing and it'll get easier. Okay. Even if you laugh because it's been 30 years, it's fine. But just trying, he'll appreciate that you tried. And here's another tip. We just found this new app and we are having a blast with it and it's free. It's called Slutbot. S-L-U-T-B-O-T. Okay. And it gives you practice and it's for sexting, but I think it can be used for dirty talk. And you literally, what, should go to Slutbot? Did we download the app? We're going to put this in the show notes for you, okay? And you just send a text to it on your phone, and it'll be like, hey, you want to start talking dirty? You can pick the dirty talking part of it, and we'll put the exact link. And it sounds really, it like gives you some things that don't sound cheesy at all, and it like sex with you. Okay. So if you're a reader, that could help.
Okay.
You could download that right now.
All right.
Okay?
And then I think, practice. I mean, I guess I never
you
got to
practice in the shower. Yeah, so. Just practice literally like, what's he going to ask me next time? And practice saying, I want you to put the vibrator on my clit. I want you to kiss me. I want you to lick my nipple. Like, just think about it and say it a few times and your face might turn red or whatever, but it's fine because it gets easier from there.
Okay.
All right. And I think
all
we probably
right.
have
well,
blogs.
Thank you for the suggestion.
Okay, you're so welcome. Thanks, Anne. Thanks for calling. There's a lot of different ways, you guys. 888-947-8277. This stuff is scary. I get it. If you've never talked about sex, if you've never talked dirty before, if you've never gone down on someone anally, like, I get it. It's scary. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of being weird, but it's sex, and sex is fun and beautiful.
Yeah, I think there's something about being put on the spot, though, in the moment, if you're not used to it. Because I used to be really bad at it, but now it's like, when it's my decision, I'm like, I feel like pretty good at it.
Yeah.
There's something about that when someone like asks you the question, it throws you off. But when like you decide, you're like,
so maybe she should just lead with it, Anne, just without waiting him to ask and be like, I've been thinking about you and asking what you want. And I want you to grab the toy and put it on my clit. You still listening, Anne? Why don't you lead with it and surprise the shit out of your husband?
Yeah.
Get it out of the
hot.
Way.
Uh-huh.
Like literally say it in the shower 10 times and then just start. You get so many points for that, Anne, and you'll feel so good.
All right. Let's talk to Ben, who's 34 in Arizona and wants to know what he can do sexually in a long distance relationship.
Hey, Ben, I can help you here. Tell me everything.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
I was calling because it's kind of like a complicated long distance relationship. We've been kind of seeing each other off and on for a few years now, but we're not official, so we haven't crossed that threshold of sex yet.
Okay.
And I'm getting sexually frustrated beyond belief.
I can imagine.
And I just don't know what to do. And, you know, I've tried, like, doing FaceTime or sexy texts or phone sex, but she's not really that kind of person. Like,
all right.
I always bring it up. And
this is someone
like,
that...
Oh, well, I'll tell you in person.
Have you met her in person yet?
Oh, yeah, we have. But like I said, it was kind of started off as friends and then it grew in to a relationship, and we're not like official. Like I said, we're not officially official, but
how often do you see her?
Yeah. We probably see each other at least like once every 2 months.
Oh, but it's only been 3 months. You said a few months, so you've seen her once.
No. We've been together for like a few years.
A few years.
I'm saying that we've seen each other like
Okay. Wait. So for 3 years, it's been every 2 months. Did you ever? And you lived in the same city at the beginning?
No, we haven't.
Okay, so Ben, is there ever, this is my advice for this. You got to, it's 3 years in. Like if she's your person, at this point, you have to figure out, are both of you, do you have a plan to live in the same city? And if you don't, time to end it. What are you doing? Are you guys committed?
Yeah.
Are you monogamous?
I mean, yeah, we,
you're 34 years old.
We do have,
yeah?
Yeah. And
you haven't had sex?
Person, you know, and yeah, like in over a year now. And
you haven't had sex in a year?
Like I've
Ben.
Yeah.
Ben. No, I what are you holding out for? Are you looking for a relationship? Are you looking for love? Do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids?
Yeah, I mean, I really like this girl. So
okay.
I really want to be with her. And so it's kind of one of those things. It's just like I don't want to look for other people at the moment yet because
Because you're still in it, so you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision next time you see. Have you guys had talks about this? Because if it's every 2 months, yeah, you're not having your intimate needs met, because I thought you were going to give me tips to spice it up long distance, but I'm not even going to give you all my tips because I do have them. I mean, I might, but Ben, I'm no, not this call, Ben. You don't get those. This is like, you got to go. When are you seeing her again?
Hopefully next month.
Okay. Well, okay. So, and then when you have not had intercourse yet, but you do fool around, you have.
Yes.
Why do you think you haven't? I mean, Ben, maybe is this for religious purposes? Why are you with this woman?
No, it's just, like I said, we just haven't gotten to that point. I mean, the last time we fooled around and, you know, we kind of mutually masturbated with each other and stuff, but it just didn't go there. And like the last time I went, nothing happened. You know, we made out and everything, and it's just like, oh.
But that's
okay.
The best part of a long distance relationship is that you get to have these vacation relations, as I call them, because every time you see each other, you're like on a vacation. It's the weekend. Woo! We're just gonna, you know, and that's how people in long distance relationships, like sometimes they're like, and then we moved to the same city and it fell apart because every time we were together, it was so intense and exciting, and we knew it was gonna end, and then we'd have all the build up, and that's why they can be really unhealthy after a while, because you have to like get to the same, you know. You have to live in the same place, but why haven't you yet? I mean, it doesn't sound like you're getting your needs met. You're not getting the needs that I would want for Ben met, even though I don't know you, Ben. But this doesn't sound like it's healthy, because you're in a monogamous relationship with someone who's not there. You have no intimacy in your life, and you're waiting for this to happen, and there's no ending to it, and you still haven't had sex to know if you guys are even on the same page. It sounds like she's not as sexual as you want her to be. But you're not. Yeah.
It's just been frustrating, and I don't know what to do at this point anymore.
Well, I think it's time to, next time you see her, or at least on the phone, have her FaceTime with you. You should at least, I hope you FaceTime. FaceTime is amazing to making you feel like you're, okay. So I think you have to have a really conversation with her, like a real, like, we've got to figure out, are we going to live in the same city? Sex is really important to me. Intimacy. We have to have a plan for this, because this is what I want. Like, at least try to have a conversation that you have not yet have, Ben. So try to do something that's going to move the needle in the relationship so you can have more information. So, but if it's about the sex thing, you could just let her know, like, I'm missing the intimacy. But it's just, she's not going to have phone sex with you right now. So just figure out where it's going and try to see her sooner than 2 months from now, because I think that you, it's time for you to make a decision if you're going to stay or you're going to go. So you can move on to something. Three years is a long time. You're not having sex, not seeing each other.
Yeah.
Are you afraid? What are you afraid of?
I mean, I agree.
Okay, good.
Kind of like rocking the boat, you know, because I...
What
like
boat? The boat's sinking. Okay. Sorry. Not sorry. Yeah. Well, I know.
No, I know what you mean.
I'm pushing you. I know you, and I get it. We like to play in the comfy pile, the comfy, like, easiness, and I get it. I'm just pushing you. So it's time, Ben. It's time to get out of the not rocking. It's time to rock the boat. Let's rock the boat, get you some answers so you know if you should stay or go, and then you can find someone who actually lives in the city who wants to have sex with you all the time, or at least, you know, as much as you want to.
Yeah,
and then there'll be another problem when you'll call me back after you guys are together for 6 months with a new person. You want to have sex, though, that's when you'll call me. But right now, you got to figure this one out and let me know how it goes. Okay, thanks, Ben. Thanks for calling. Sometimes you got to do some tough love. I got to.
Let's take this email here.
All right.
This comes to us from Hannah, who's 20 in Canada. Dear Emily, I just started using dating apps. I've met some really amazing guys. I've been sexually active with guys, but I am still a virgin. If I'm casually seeing a guy and want to have sex with him, how do I bring up the fact that I'm a virgin, or do I have to tell him?
Yeah, okay, great question, Hannah. Okay, here's the thing. Definitely let somebody know that you are a virgin. I think that, wait, you guys, let's just be honest. It's a monumental time in your life. You will always remember the first time you have sex. Let me know. Not as your fondest moment, not as the best sex you ever had, but as a moment, a passing, you know, a rite of passage. And yes, no one's going to judge you. In fact, that's how you're going to be treated, with the love and respect that you deserve. And make sure it's someone that you're comfortable with, though. So, yeah, call it a sexual debut. It's your debut going out in the world. So if you want to, here's how you can do it, though. If you want to let them know you haven't had sex yet, just let them know that, first of all, know this in your heart, Hannah, that being a virgin is not anything to be ashamed of. It doesn't require justifying, apologizing, pretending that you know more than you do, that you're somebody else, making noises or moving like you thought you saw in porn one day. Like, no, not at all. Being a virgin is such a great state. It's like saying I have a cold. Like, you know what that means. Like, a virgin, you have not had sex. So, like, that's all it is. Just something that you've not tried yet. So just let them know, like, when you're with someone that you feel a connection with and you're like, oh, this is someone I could see myself having sexual feelings for, just say, hey, let me know. I haven't had sex yet, just so you know. I don't even like the word burn-in. You can say, haven't had sex yet.
Sexual debut.
Sexual debut. Hey, guess what, buddy? It's my debut and you're invited. There's only one ticket to my sexual debut and you are invited. Yeah. I mean, let him know. And also let him know where you're at sexually, with your sexuality. Like, are you ready? Like, don't let him pressure you into it, obviously. And then just don't rush into it. Keep having conversations around it and get to know each other. You guys, let me tell you something. If you haven't had sex, I get it. It's like getting my driver's license, right? It's going to be the best thing ever. Oh, my God. And yeah, right now, you know, for a while it is. And now I'm like, I wish I could just Uber everywhere. I don't like driving. Point is, it's liberating. It's free. And then you don't really think about it and you start driving. Sex is the same thing. It's one of these. Sex, it's going to be amazing. And the truth is, we all know that even once we start having sex with someone for 20 years or however long, like, we eventually want to go back to this part anyway when we're not having sex and the buildup or the buildup and the excitement and the... So keep staying in that zone. Like, stay as long as you want to till you feel safe to move into penetration. So building it up, letting them know it makes you feel good. Like, you know, hopefully you've been masturbating and you know how to bring yourself to orgasm. Like, that's fun, all the dry humping and the things that you do.
It is.
The fingers and the licking and the 69ing. And I think that it's also let him know that, you know, and if it's in the heat of the moment, like, this is my first time. Like, that's just different ways to let him know. And make sure that, yeah, you know your body, what makes you feel good, and that you are definitely not pressured into it. And what I think is best, because you're asking me, you should just go on the apps. You're meeting some amazing guys. Wait until you meet one that you've gone out with several times and that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and this is something you have to learn, I think. But think about the people in your life that you really love, the friends that you met, that you became close to right away, and there was never any drama, there was never any worries. Think about people, like, those are the people you want to sleep with, I think, that you've known for a little bit. There's enough track record that you're like, said he was going to be here at 8, he was here at 8. Likes his mom, like, seems to have friends, has a job, saw him with his brother, he was nice to him. Like, just, like, they're like, good people.
Yeah. Because
otherwise you're just going to be like, and I think we know that, like, think about how you've chose your friends. Like, we all have friends we've had, like, and there's people you've never been friends with. So think about it that way, Hannah. Move slow, tread lightly, and don't blame, and there's nothing to feel shameful about. And yeah, just have fun with yourself for now also, and the masturbation's important, and just communicate and feel safe. Thanks for the email.
Let's talk to Brittany. She's 23 in Idaho, and she wants to know why she's experiencing pain during orgasm.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey.
Hey, sweetie. Thanks for calling. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah. It's actually not during orgasm. It's afterwards.
Oh, okay.
It's complete, like, after we've laid down, afterwards we're just relaxing, and then I'm doubling over in excruciating pain. I've had doctors tell me, oh, your appendix is going to burst. I've had a doctor tell me, oh, I'll see you as needed. I've seen multiple OBs. I don't know where to turn now. I mean, we have a great sex life.
Well, I'm going to help you, okay? So it's right after orgasm, so you never have them, you never have it during, though?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
So it could be, there's a few things, because I thought you were just going to talk about pain during sex. There's a few things that could be happening. It could be your cervix. See, that happens sometimes. Like, your cervix might be touched during sex, and it's a very tender part of the body, and, like, the surrounding muscles, right?
I know what that feels like, and it's not that, because it's, like, it's deeper, you know, it's, like, I don't know, I guess where my uterus is? I don't know.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, but the cervix is the opening to the uterus, and so problems that can cause pain. Listen, there's a lot of things that it could be. So it could be, you know, pelvic inflammatory disease. It could be, like, you know, that's when, like, that's essentially when the tissues become really inflamed and the pressure of intercourse is causing a deep pain. There's a lot of different reasons, but what I got to tell you, what you have to do is, so you said you went to your gynecologist and they were like, what'd he say? She say? Your thing's going to burst?
Well, the first one, he told me he thinks my appendix is going to burst.
Oh, right.
But he did two full workups. Okay. I don't have PID or anything like that either.
Okay, this is what then you need to do. Here's the problem. I don't know if you've been listening to this show for a while, but this is a really big topic. So I'm glad you called in, because 80% of women have pain during sex at some point in their life. And many of them will tell their gynos and they're like, oh, it's in your head, or we don't know, or have a glass of wine. What I think you need to do is you need to find a pelvic floor physical therapist. You can find one in your area, and they are amazing. And their entire job is to look at your pelvic floor, and they can tell you in one session what you need to do and then help you work through it, just like a physical therapist for if you hurt your shoulder or your leg. So find that, and that's going to be your next best step beyond your doctor.
Okay.
It's genius. So find one in your area. You can just Google, like there's like a board, you know, that it'll be like pelvic floor physical therapist certified in your area. That's it. I mean, because here's the thing. It could be so many different things. If he's, you know, endometriosis, it could be vaginismus, involuntary spasm of the muscles. And that could also sometimes be by something emotional. Maybe you had something that happened during childhood. Maybe you put a tampon in once.
I did.
You had some sexual trauma?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't really think that affects me during...
It does, honey. So here's the thing. You're not... And so I would go see a physical therapist. And this is the other thing. When we experience sexual trauma, it stays with us. Even if we think we've talked it through or we've forgiven, it's deep work that has to happen. So if you haven't seen a therapist about it and you want to continue to have healthy...
I have 13 years under my belt.
Oh, of therapy? Okay. Have you ever...
Yeah, I have 13 years of therapy under my belt.
Well, that's awesome. I recently don't have sexual trauma, but I have other just like emotional trauma. And for many people with sexual trauma, EMDR therapy, eye movement, desensitization, reprocessing, is this a very effective treatment for people who have suffered any kind of trauma. And it's less sessions you need, but they work with you on working through the trauma in the moment using these little buzzers you hold in your hand and you relive the trauma and it reprocesses your brain. You can look that up as well, EMDR. So those are my two suggestions for you. Yeah. There you go. Even talking about it.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. It's been around now for about 15, 20 years. And they actually, it was for vets, I think they discovered it. People were out walking a lot and they were doing certain movements that would help them reprocess things. I think it was with war vets. And then now it's become a very, very, like, it's an amazing, it's not like woo-woo, it sounds like it, but it's not super effective. So those are my two best tips for you, Brittany, because you should not have any pain during sex. I don't want that for you. And I don't want you to have any emotional stuff.
Me neither.
Let's clear it all out, sweetie. Let me know how it goes, though, okay? I'm here for you.
All right.
If you want to talk about stuff after you go, you're so welcome. Have a great night, Brittany. Thanks for calling.
Let's talk to Steve. He's 39 in Arizona and wants to ask about how to take care of and clean his sex toys.
Oh, I got you on this one. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Emily. Happy hump day.
Oh, my God. Forgot it was hump day. Thank you, Steve. Happy hump day to you.
Wife and I have just a little collection of toys. I got rings and different stuff, and some of them are silicone, some of them are like PVC or whatever cheaper material is. And we just want to know how to keep those things clean after use, especially during storage or whatever.
Okay, well, that is such a good question because it's so important to clean your toys. You can actually get infections, bacterial infections, from not cleaning your toys. So the easiest way to do it is... this is what they say the instructions are essentially is to use a damp cloth. Like first, always wipe it off after with a damp cloth. Damp cloth. That was kind of we did a video once. I had to avoid a damp cloth. So really a damp cloth. And then also there's toy cleaners. There's a lot of great toy cleaners. We love them. System Joe toy cleaner. If you go to our website, we've got a bunch of toy cleaners. So just like sprays and you spray it, you wipe it off, you're done. If you have a few toys, though, Steve, I'm going to blow your mind with one of my favorite inventions in sex technology the last few years. It's called the UV. It's UVEE, and it looks like a little beautiful box, like a store. It's a storage box, essentially. No one knows what's in it. It stores, cleans, and sanitizes and charges your toys. So it has a little lock on it, and you put your toys in there. You still have to wipe them off, but you put them in, and you close it, and it uses UV light. And it cleans all your toys, and then there's charging outlets, and they'll just be charged, and there's a lock on it, so no one can see what's in there. So any version of those will work, but I think the UVs, I have it by my bed, no one knows what it is, it's cool. So that's just make sure that you use a cleaner, and you wipe them off, and just don't put them away dirty. And then I would wrap them up.
Is there anything bad about using like a Dove, like a soft soap?
You know, I got to be honest, you could use a little bit of light soap if you'd like to. I think people do that anyway. But I would, you know, go more on the, you know, sudsy of the water part than the very, very light soap. I think it's better to just, so you're fine. I mean, sometimes you could use baby wipes, honestly. So just make sure you wipe off all the soap after. That's the most important thing. But I think a little bit of soap is fine, as long as you are cleaning them and drying them and storing them in a place that's not, don't store them when they're wet still. You know, leave them out to dry. So yeah, you're doing well.
I try to keep them all separated from each other, like wrap them in a towel so nothing's touching, so the silicones don't melt together.
That's great. Like that. No, that's, I was just going to say that. Wrap them in a washcloth or something, or a cloth to keep them. They come in little bags too. A lot of the toys come in bags. Most of them do now. They come little, keep the bag and clean it and put it away. And yeah. So I'm glad you asked about that, because actually the woman who invented, thank you for your question, Steve. Let me know how that goes.
Thank you.
Of course, the woman who invented UV, Carrie, she had infection from a toy. And she was like, this is ridiculous. What am I going to do? And she invented this very elegant thing called the UV. We'll put it in the show notes if you go to sexwithemily.com. Okay, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Michelle, Kristen, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.